This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Johnny Cardinale. Before we get to Johnny, a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. We are Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Let's get those Instagram numbers up, shall we? Give us a follow there. While you're following, please subscribe to us on all your streaming platforms. Listen to all of them and subscribe on all of them. Why not? But whichever one you do listen to us on, please give us a good rating. That helps more people find the show. It's a nice thing for you to do, and it costs you nothing. So if you can do that, I'd appreciate it. If you think you'd be right for the show, or maybe you know somebody right for the show, or maybe you just want to ask me some travel questions or tell me I'm awesome, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Johnny Cardinale, or Cardinale, as you would say properly in the old country, is a comedian who always seems to be on the road. He works a lot. Like me, he's doing a lot of cruise ships these days, and we ran into each other in the San Francisco airport last month, where he was coming back from another ship, and it only reminded me that I should get him on the show sometime. And now is that time. For a good part of the last 20-plus years, Johnny's been on the road a lot. And like our last guest, Steve Mazan, he's done a lot of military tours, along with a lot of cruise ships. Been to a lot of really remote places and seen a lot of cool stuff. So if you want to go see him and want to know his whereabouts, you can go to johnnycardinale.com. That's Cardinale with an E at the end. And you can find his name on all the social medias, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. But it was good to catch up with him, and I hope you enjoy our chat. Here's my talk with comedian Johnny Cardinale. Johnny Cardinale. You go with the Cardinale or Cardinale? Which one do you do?
Every host in comedy prefers Cardinale, but my family prefers Cardinale. Okay. That's how it works.
Ohio's finest. Cleveland, right?
Originally from Cleveland, Ohio,
attaboy.
Yes.
Attaboy. Attaboy. How long have you been in L.A.?
I moved out with my family, or my dad, essentially, when I was 10, to the Inland Empire, city called Kalamasa, where I run my Sand Trap show, which I believe
It was very fun.
It's in Beaumont. Yeah, it's fun. And 14 years I've been running it now.
That's amazing.
Anyhow, and I grew up in the middle of nowhere, man, from 10 minutes. I grew up about 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland, and then I moved to a little place where I had a one-hour bus ride each way to school and back from fifth grade on. So middle of nowhere.
Well, I mean, you've made up for getting around since then. I mean, you are all over the place. And last time I saw you, we ran into each other in, was it Seattle Airport?
I think it was San Francisco.
San Francisco. Okay, yeah. Well, you were coming back from, we were both doing ships. And how many weeks a year are you doing about now, you think?
I average probably, this year here, I took on a lot. Because I just bought this condo and stuff, and I go, okay, I need money, you know what I mean? And took on probably a little bit too much, so it's probably been close to 3 weeks a month. Ooh. This entire calendar year.
Yeah, you were just telling me before we started, you just got off the plane at 2 in the morning. You got home at 2 in the morning, and from Colombia you were coming from, and then now you leave again tomorrow.
Yeah, and I got home yesterday, December 8th. I left this place on November 8th.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you're enjoying that condo. You're really enjoying every bit of that condo.
Oh, dude, I got to go out there just to enjoy this place here. But now, I wasn't strictly on ships all the time. I talked to the lines, and they were able to overnight me sometimes a couple nights in a row since I was already on that side of the country, which was very cool.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, rather than have me fly back and fly back, they just said, nah, we'll just vessel transfer you, it's called. And so, staying a couple nights in Miami. I went to the coolest karaoke bar ever called Sweet Caroline's.
Okay. What a shocker that it's called Sweet Caroline. Yeah. Is that by the airport?
Because
I have to spend nights near the airport there. I think it's what we all do. Because people say, oh, you get to spend a night in Miami. And I don't go, no, it's not in Miami. You know, we're like at the runway. and it's like 30 miles. It's like I get excited about, you know, staying overnight in San Francisco, and people are like, "Oh, it's great." Yeah, it's like, yeah, I love San Francisco, the city, but I'm not in it. I'm like, you know, at 45 minutes outside of the city. Yeah.
How about New York? How about New York when you're in that hotel in Jamaica? You're like, okay, Queens, am I allowed to go out? You know what I mean? Yeah. No, actually, there's two different hotels I stayed at in Miami. One is the Sheraton right by the airport. Yep. And the other one is this one. This one was the Intercontinental. And it's actually considerably farther away from the airport. Nicer hotel.
Okay.
It was still about a 20-minute Uber to Sweet Caroline. Right.
Okay. Now I'll write it down. But it's so funny how we're like, our friends and family think we're staying on the beach. Oh, you get to go to – you're going to Miami?
Exactly.
You
know,
what beach are you at? I was like, I don't even see the ocean from here. I don't even see it.
Exactly. And rarely do I even leave the hotel when I'm overnighting. But it was two nights in a row I was overnighting.
You got a day to kill.
I got tomorrow off,
So you sing during your act. I mean, you have you play guitar and you do all that. But when you do karaoke, what's your go-to song? I mean, do you have like an act or a certain song that you do?
It's changed through the years, and I'll give you a funny story about that in a second. But I mean, I take singing really serious. I don't mean to brag, but
no, you post Jackson videos Brown, all the time. You post videos.
Jackson Brown, who's my favorite performer of all time. I'm a Beatles scholar, but Jackson Brown's my number one. He's reposted on his Instagram story at least 10 of my covers.
Wow.
And eventually followed me. And then one time I got this really interesting message from Jackson Brown, whoever his social media person is. I was on a ship, and they go – this was like about a year ago. They go, hey, Jackson Brown – he's releasing a new single off his album this week. Would you like to do a cover of it? And so we could and post it. And so I didn't even know this song because I was on ships. I hadn't gotten the album yet. I was in Cozumel or something. I went on my phone and I just listened to it like a bunch of times and I screenshotted the lyrics. Then I have my little travel guitar with me. I went and learned how to play it. Just one little minute of the song. And I did a quick cover and I posted it on TikTok and I sent it to, you know, his person. And a couple days later, I didn't hear anything. I'm like, well. A couple days later, he posted on his Instagram. It's still there. It's his new single where it starts off with him singing from the music video. Then it cuts to this girl, fan, singing. And then it cuts to me singing. And it cuts to this other guy singing. The three of us are just regular people. And then it cuts back to him and it goes back and forth for like a minute. But so I'm featured on one of his things. Now, this doesn't – I know Jackson Brown's not as popular to the world as like – but he's literally my favorite of all time. Seen him in concert 15 times. So it's kind of amazing. And then he follows me on Instagram. But even how like Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, she's like, oh, I love this because her and Jackson Brown have done like some duets together.
Oh, man.
So it was like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then James Taylor, I did one of his cover. He follows me on Instagram. And Neil Diamond doesn't follow me, but he did post one of my covers on his Instagram story. So I take very much pride in my singing, like, you know, but anyhow, karaoke through the years. My latest, crazy as it sounds, is Someone You Loved by Louis Capaldi.
I don't think I know the song.
I love that song. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, he's a younger guy. And,
yeah, that's why I don't know him.
Well, during the pandemic.
Get back into the Jackson Brown era. That one I'm all over.
Yeah, I was going to say, during the pandemic, I happened to be sort of dating this girl. We were doing like a long distance thing. She's from Ohio. She saw me on a cruise ship. Very nice girl. She's a dentist. She lives in Cleveland. She's from Canada. She's considerably younger than me. Okay. When I say that, I mean 25 years younger.
And you're 29, and, as we all know. You're
exactly, too. So she was barely legal. And but anyhow, we were kind of doing a long distance thing for like a couple months. I mean, where is it going to go? But I went back to visit her because I really did really like her. Not just because she was actually really just a nice person. She's a dentist, great human being. And I went back to visit her in February 2020, spent a couple days and then go down to Miami, get on ships, come back to LA. Everything clicked. Everything went.
The world shuts down.
Flights. Yeah. And so I ended up spending almost 2 years living with her in Ohio, in Cleveland, my hometown where I hadn't lived since I was 10 years old. So I got to revisit my whole area. My mom still lives there. I got cousins all over the place. But it was like almost like stop the world. I want to get off. She didn't really stop because she's still living where she lives. She took a couple weeks off, but she's a frontliner as a dentist.
Yeah.
So she was going to work every day. And I just I still kept my place out in L.A. At the time, I was just renting a place up in North Hollywood. Kept it the whole time, but I lived with her. It was like the craziest, weirdest, in some ways, the greatest year and a half or whatever of ever.
Well,
but anyhow, she's younger, so we ended up listening to, like, we'd be driving her radio stations.
Oh, right.
So all of a sudden, I'm hearing these BTS. Who is this? and I liked a lot of it. So I've become a fan of some music that I never would have been exposed to otherwise.
Yeah, that's,
so,
you know, that's so funny. That's just like you went back to your home city. You got family all around. You got this great gal. And then 2 years later, you know what? I'm gonna buy a place back in L.A.
Well, what
you
happened
couldn't be
is
convinced she's, to stay. You couldn't.
She's like I said, she's so young.
I get that.
She's her career is set, man. She's Dennis make more money than I even thought.
Yeah,
I realized she never told me how much she did, but I was just sort of piecing together. You know, she would tell me little bits and pieces. I'm like, oh my God, you're doing a lot better than I realized. And she'd tell me, she goes, the office had this so much made so much this day. And I know she gets a percentage of that. I'm like, oh, really? And I know sort of what her percentage is. I'm like, oh, my God, you made this today?
And that wasn't so enough anyhow, to convince you to stay.
Dude, everything except for, and I'll be honest with you, it was the hardest and also the smartest decision I ever made. I go, all of a sudden, when things started opening up again, I got to make money. I got to, all of a sudden, getting all these offers for cruise ships. I'm gone weeks at a time. She's ready to get married, have kids right
That's
now.
That's the
go,
rub.
None of this is fair to you. We parted on great terms. It was sad.
Yeah.
And now she's engaged to a periodontist around her age. They look great together. And
great
I
teeth.
Cannot be happier.
Coupled with a great teeth. Yeah, you lost your dental privileges too. You had dental.
Dude,
you had everything.
Literally, she should be the poster child for dentist. She literally does have perfect
of course.
Teeth. And while we're there living, I have a bridge back that I got up years ago. And right here in Hollywood, actually. And when I was living on Sycamore, and I was working at a bank at the time, so I had great benefits, so didn't cost much. But you know, bridges are pretty expensive. But anyhow, it cracked, it broke a little piece off, and she looked at it. She goes, "Now the foundation stuff still is intact, so you know you're good. It eventually you need to get it replaced." I'm like, "All right, didn't bother me." And I have dental out here, but you know, it's still. No, there's no rush on it. And I also have – this is a fake tooth that I got in like eighth grade and I've had it out the same cap since eighth grade. And she – right off the bat, she's like, yeah, I don't – your cap's not that great. I'm like, well, I've had it on since I was eighth grade. Anyway, for Christmas, she redid my bridge and my cap. She brought me into the office and redid
it's
both
good
of
gift.
Them. And she did like an amazing job. Yeah, I came out here, went to my old dentist once I moved back out here. I went for a checkup. And the dentist goes, who did your crown? You know, I go, my dentist back in the house. He goes, wow. He goes, that is amazing. He goes, the color is just like perfect. And I go, yeah, I mean, she's really good. He goes, wow. And he was like, and she's only like, you know, 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, this guy's so. So anyhow, I kind of lucked out with that whole thing. We were great for the pandemic, but. That beside the point that we're getting off the tangent, that's how I got the young movement. Now, here's the greatest karaoke story ever, though.
Okay,
and it's a double. So anyhow, we're talking about how I love to play and sing. So I used to do covers at a place called Jameson's Pubs on Main Street in Santa Monica.
My old neighborhood, I know it well.
Yep, I was gonna say you know that area
very
well.
I lived there 5 years, right off Main Street.
Yeah, there you go. So I used to live off Speedway, but this is after I'd already moved. But my buddy Kieran. He was he's from Ireland. He was a bartender there. One time he calls me and he goes, hey man, he goes, our singer, we used to have somebody play and sing on Wednesday nights, which was, it was his Wednesday night. It's around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He goes, but our person couldn't make it. Do you feel like coming down and plugging in? We have everything set up except for the guitar. So all I got to do is plug in and they got mics and everything. I'm like, yeah, why not? Just sit and play some covers. You know what I mean? Get paid a few bucks, but also free dinner.
Absolutely.
And so I went there, and it's Wednesday. There's hardly anybody there, 25 people. And I don't really do like the regular covers. I'll never do Brown Eyed Girl, even though I love Van Morrison. I'll do like Caravan if I'm going to do Van Morrison. I don't do this.
Certain songs that I never need to hear again, quite frankly.
No, especially working on cruise
ships. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I always say, work. If you work 7 days on a cruise ship, you'll hear Sweet Caroline more than if you go spend 7 days at a Neil Diamond convention.
You will. And, that and Piano yeah. Man, I don't have to hear again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
So I'm sitting there and I'm playing and nobody's paying attention. But, you know, as comedians, we have to get the attention. As a song, as a player, I'm like, whatever. I'm background music. That's fine. And I start playing Chasing Cars. And I do a pretty faithful rendition to Chasing Cars when I sing it. You know what I mean? It's like I take it real serious. I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I always have this right here. We'll do it all. Everything. And I'm this far in, and this whole group of people that have been there all night now looking at me, they're like, yeah. And they're holding up their beers, and they're like flapping. And I'm like, what is going on all of a sudden? And I'm thinking they're making fun of me for singing Chasing Cars. Like maybe they think it's, you know, I don't know, a lame song or something. And then they start singing along with me. The whole time I'm in my head going, these guys don't like me. They're goofing on me. And then afterwards, the waitress comes up. She goes, do you know who that is? I go, no. She goes, that's Snow Patrol.
Oh, the actual band was in
that,
the...
That was Snow Patrol, the band. So I was like, oh my God. So I went up. I took a picture. I met them all. I took a picture with Gary Lightbody, the lead singer guy. And they were a few beers in. Anyhow, you asked me, what's your go-to karaoke song? So a couple years ago, I met this guy through a friend of a friend down in Santa Monica. And he's like, he's from Ireland. And he works like, he's a composer for movies, like indie movies. But he also works with like, there's this, Cinemagic is this name of this company out of Northern Ireland that does like children's movies. And they film them over there. They get Pierce Brosnan's part of it, like an investor, and Liam Neeson. But they don't act in the movies. But they're part of it to, you know, to help kids. But anyhow, they come out here in L.A. and they have a like event at the Fairmont Hotel in Santa Monica. So my buddy who I met, the composer, he goes, hey, we're recording a little song up for one of these movies, like a for a little promo trailer. You want to come up and maybe sing with us? Like a chorus with a bunch of kids. I'm like, yeah, why not, man? Sounds like fun. And I meet the lady who's behind it, the producer from Cinemagic. She's from Ireland. And she goes, what's your go-to? We just started talking about karaoke. She goes, what's your go-to karaoke song? And at the time, it was Chasing Cars. And I go, Chasing Cars? She goes, you're kidding. She goes, at our event tonight, Gary Lightbody is going to be there speaking.
Oh, God.
So I was invited. So I went and I saw him and I went up to him and I go, and I showed him the picture that we had taken like 5 years prior. He goes, where was this? He goes, oh my God, you're kidding. Then we took another picture. So those are my two Gary Lightbody long-winded karaoke stories. Yeah.
It's like, it's a 5-year stalking. It's like, every 5 years, I'm going to run into this guy.
Dude, exactly. When's your next hit, bro? I need another cover.
So how long have you been like a full-time comic on the road? And what was, did you start as like a lot of us did in, like for me in the Midwest, I did, sure, you start in clubs and you do a lot of that. But then, you know, I went into doing colleges and I figured you must have done a bunch of those. But then you age out of those, you know? So yeah. How many years have you been doing this on the road?
It's, I've had a, probably the dumbest career strategically you could possibly do. Because I grew up, like I said, 2 hours from L.A. I just moved to L.A. I was an accounting major in college. I said, I'm just going to go out here. I'm going to get into comedy or something. And I got in with a sketch comedy group, and we used to write all our stuff, produce all our stuff, and put up shows all around town. And then it just fell apart. We were really talented people. There were some really talented people in the group. Like I couldn't even believe I was in this group. But then, you know, one guy, you know, has a drug problem, and the director starts dating one of the girls, and there's an issue. And so they all just fell apart like after 6 months. And I'm like, what? And I had written some song parodies for the group that were big hits for the group. And I'm like, I got these now. I guess I'll go just do open mics. And I was within like a year, I showcased with Mitzi Shore and I got picked up. And I wasn't ready, but because I had these musical parodies, which were honestly, they were big hits. I mean, they were, because I could sing pretty well and they were, you know, they did well, but I wasn't ready and I got too much too soon as far as getting a regular at the Comedy Store. And then I didn't realize it. I don't want to be just this, but that's what you get labeled, you know, especially at the time. Now, trust me, if it was TikTok era, I'd be putting those parodies on TikTok.
Yeah.
And, you know, who cares? But back then, Point of View, late night spot, get your sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, and that just doesn't fly. So it was bad timing. And, but anyhow, the one good thing that came out of it is, I started working at a comedy store, and, I didn't really go on the road much, like once or twice that I ever go do comedy calls, feature for somebody like Oklahoma, Nebraska. And then Joey Edmonds, big college agent. I used to run the comedy show at O'Brien's on Main Street, right down the street from where we just talked about. And Joey Edmonds happened to be there looking at another comic one night. Now, I had submitted stuff to Joey Edmonds, big college, the biggest college agent at the time, never got back to me. After I got done with my set, he come up to me, "Who are you?" I go, "I submitted to you." He goes, "You're kidding." Signed with him that day, or, you know, the next day, but officially pretty much that night. And then I did colleges for a decade, starting almost immediately. And then you're doing colleges, you're making good money, but I wasn't mixing it up by also doing the road. You know, so I never really got in with comedy clubs. And then you age out. And then, you know, between that and military tours and a little bit of stuff out here. And then I moved into cruise ships.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about military tours, because just this past week, I interviewed Steve Mazan, who just came back from a military tour. And he's done a ton of those.
He's one of those names.
And you, I remember seeing you on a lot of those tours. Did you do like USO tours, or was it the, because during like in Iraq and Afghanistan, there was a lot of tours going out, especially in the early 2000s, and a lot of different groups doing them. How many of those did you do? I never did one of those. I just scheduling wise, I wanted to, but I never did. And how close did you get to any kind of gunfire or anything like that?
Not as close as some people, because I've never been to Afghanistan or Iraq or Kuwait, but I've been literally everywhere else. I've done 21 tours.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. And the last 16 of them, I've actually run. I actually bring the comics with me. So it's been kind of a cool thing. That Mazan's one of those names, or Mazan, he's one of those guys whose names you've seen. It's funny, him and I have crossed paths, but we don't know each other, but we know of each other for sure. And the one, I guess the closest I can ever say is one time we weren't even allowed to post anything or mention the city, but it was in Turkey, and like way out in the middle of nowhere base. And we're sitting there in the mess hall, and I go, "How far are we from?" This is back when Syria was like in really the news all the time. I go, "How far are we from Syria right now?" He goes, "About 25 minutes." I'm like, "You're kidding." You know what I mean? And I'm like, "Holy smokes." And then we had a show at this base. I think we were doing two shows. You know, you have to go by whatever their schedules. One show was going to be at 12 noon. Then we were going to do another one at like 8 p.m. just for people that were working different shifts. And all of a sudden, you know, every now and then you're on base and you hear the and you're like, "Oh, is this a drill? You know, or what's going on?" You know, you just hear the big horns and stuff. And I'm walking with one of the guys. I forget where we were going. Coming back from, and all of a sudden we start hearing it, and we see people running, you know, the guys in their fatigues and stuff. And I go, "Oh, is this a drill?" He goes, "No." He goes, "No, they're loading up to go." I go, "Where?" He goes, "Syria, that way." He goes, this particular base, they go pick up wounded and stuff like that. I'm like, "Oh, I mean, this is real deal." So, we did a show anyhow for whoever did, for whatever reason, did not go. And, you know, you just have to, you know, it's kind of a weird circumstance, but it is.
You were like in a mesh.
What it is?
You're like in a mesh unit. You were there with Hawkeye and the whole gang.
Literally, dude.
Choppers.
We were making martinis.
Choppers are coming in.
We were making martinis. Yeah, we had a still right
had
there.
A still in the swamp.
Exactly, dude. But no, I mean, I'm serious, bro. That's exact. I've slept in tents. In Djibouti, Africa, giant tents where all it is barracks, like a giant tent with bunk beds.
Oof.
You know what I mean? One to a bed all the way down.
How hot
and
was that?
Maybe
what was the temperature there?
No, outside hot. Inside, at least they had AC.
Oh,
you know
God.
What I mean? Or fans blowing through. But yeah, it's wild because I've been to Djibouti twice, right? So first time was my very first tour ever years ago. And that was such a weird tour because we went to Japan first and then we went to Djibouti. Dude, it was Steve Miller, another comedian. We had a
I call him
layover.
Maurice. I call him the Joker, and I call him Maurice.
Exactly. And
I'm sure he's heard that 8 billion times. Change your name, dude. Get a nickname.
Dude,
come on.
Dude, I spent 2 years in Ohio. I have no idea who Steve Miller is anymore. And Lewis Capaldi, bro,
yeah,
for the win.
I get it.
And and we had a layover at the Yemen airport.
Oh boy.
For like 2 hours. Like, where you just sit there like this, and you couldn't do it now, obviously. But I can say I've been in Yemen. But anyhow, we stayed in those tents, and it went out. Hey, it is what it is. You know, it's they got to stay in them. I got no problem with that. A couple years later, now I'm running tours, and we're going to Djibouti again. And I'm telling the guys, the people, the comics I'm with, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to be staying in tents. And they're like, eh, whatever. And we get there, and they go, you guys are going to be in canisters. It's almost like the back of a semi, like a long metal thing, mm-hmm. with a tiny little desk and a little twin bed. But at least you have your own place. And so we get, oh, okay, this is better. And we're there for, I think, 3 days in Djibouti. And they come in after day one. They go, hey, we need you to move out. We got incoming, you know, soldiers. And we're like, okay, where do we go? Keep in mind, I'm running the tours, and we don't have a chaperone, so I got to deal with everything. And they go, we got you guys a hotel. Djibouti, Africa, there is one 5-star hotel right on the Indian Ocean. That's where we stayed for 2 nights, man. I mean, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Thank God it was there. Right there. I mean, what if there wasn't? I mean, what was it?
Yeah,
what's a
exactly.
5-star? Because I've been to a lot of countries, and you know, their version of 5-star is a little different than our version of 5-star sometimes.
Well, Djibouti, Africa, like honestly, most of the world is literally kings and peasants.
Yeah.
There's no middle class. You'll see, you know, just people walking around. Then you look over, you see a giant palace all guarded with people, you know, holding. You're like, that's the king, the president, whatever. This was a legit 5-star.
Oh, hotel. Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? With like an infinity pool. And I mean, it was just, it was weird, man, because we went down to like the club down below, and it was all these guys, like people from all over the world, like swarthy guys smoking cigars and stuff. And all these young girls dancing. And it wasn't like a strip club or anything like that there, but you're like all these girls that they imported just to dance, whether they're escorts or not, I don't know. But all I saw was dancing. But I'm like, I can't believe I'm in this world right now, sitting here. You know what I mean? Well, it was so weird.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, what other? You know, you've been to a lot of these. You know, certainly Muslim countries and things like that. I mean, have you ever seen something that was like really shocked you? I mean, now you're a little more hardened by it. I mean, you've seen a lot. I mean, was there something aside from the Djibouti thing? I mean, what was Yemen like? Did you get to?
Well. That, again, just sitting in the airport, and I must say, I felt like I was in the movie Aladdin, just looking at the people around with the beards and the – well, we're sitting there, and then – and somebody told me, goes, don't wear anything that says – this. We weren't like at odds at the time like we would be now, but people told me, don't wear anything that says USA.
Sure.
Don't have a flag on your shirt. Don't – just be in, you know, I had my Cleveland Indians hat on. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't even wear it. I mean, you just don't want to. But anyhow, then finally they
make you put on
up,
a Guardian hat. There's the,
dude.
It's like, that's just not PC, my friend. Sorry.
We have standards. Give me that Chief Wahoo. All right. And the guy picks us up, all of us who are getting on the plane. And I don't know, 40 of us. We get into the little bus to drive down the tarmac, whatever, to the plane, and all of a sudden the driver stops. We're going to the plane right now. Where are you stopping? He gets out, puts down his and does the
bows to Mecca
for like for like 10 minutes while we're just sitting there and like, wow, this really happens.
I've had cab drivers do that. You wonder, it's like. You know, I am on the meter here. Let's I understand you have to like bow to Mecca this time of day. And it's like 5 times a day or something, right? It was like,
what chapter is this in the book again when you're in a cab? That's exactly.
And the calls to prayer in the middle of the morning, you know, like at 4 in the morning or whatever it is. And over the town. At first, it's like, oh, it's very exotic and beautiful. And then the second day, it's like, shut up. Come on.
I mean – Different cultures, different strokes, but when you're witnessing it for the first time in their land, it is a little jarring, I guess.
Have you ever had run-ins, especially, I mean, you got to, when you're booking these tours and things, like you said, you got to handle the paperwork and the nonsense. Have you ever had to deal with like immigration or visa problems or having to deal with like bribing cops or anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe not cops, but when you get to Djibouti, there's a little desert there at the airport. And this airport is so small, it makes Burbank look like a JFK.
Yeah.
And there's a little guy there just sitting in his thing. And he goes, passport, please. Looks at his passport. And then he looks up at you. Yeah. And he goes, oh, and then you're like, oh, I need to pay him.
Yeah.
So I just paid him, and then he gives you your passport. Like, okay. And then one time I was in Saudi Arabia, and again, I'm taking care of the comics, so I've done the stuff in advance, and they all get through. Now, keep in mind, once we get outside, an Armed Forces Entertainment representative is with us, but they can't come inside. So we're on our own until we get out there. We're in Saudi Arabia, and my four other comics, they pass through. Then I'm going through immigration, put down my passport, you know, thumbprint. Okay. Whatever. He goes, okay, go sit right there. I'm like, okay. And I'm sitting there, and he's talking with his other people while he's helping people. People are passing through. He's laughing every now and then. I'm sitting there going, you don't want to go, hey, brother, yeah, what's the deal? You know what I mean? You got to be nice and stuff. And 45 minutes at least, I was sitting there.
God.
And then finally he calls me up. And he's looking again, this whole thing again, thumbs. And after almost an hour, he goes, okay, you can go. And I go outside to the AFE rep and I go, what happened? What was that all about? Why did he do that? He goes, because he could.
Right.
I go, really? That's it? He goes, that's it?
Yeah. Okay. He had to let this American know that there, who was in power.
Man. 100%.
You're not in charge here. Basically, is that it?
Exactly, man.
Well, tell me about Saudi Arabia. I mean, we hear so much about Saudi Arabia, and I've only been in the Middle East. I've been to Israel and Jordan, but I haven't been to Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, we hear so much about it. What did you get to see? What were you allowed to see, and what was the vibe?
My perspective, not a fan.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't get to see a whole lot, but picked up at the airport. We went to the base. Now, the base was an R&R base. It's where, you know, once you're on base, you're sort of no longer in the country.
Yeah.
It's our territory in a weird way. So you're good there. And it's, like I said, it's an R&R base. So it's where soldiers go to unwind. You know, we stayed in these like almost cottage little thing, and they had tennis courts, and we could rent bikes and ride around a little college campus or something. So there wasn't bad at all. But just driving to it, it was just kind of just grimy and dirty. But you know, I mean, so was Albuquerque.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I just saw the junkie. But I was like, ew.
So you didn't get to, like, you know, tour the town or like see much.
Well, they did. It was me, another comic. I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been Matt Betts and my friend Lauren Ashley Bishop, who lives in Arkansas now. Fantastic comic and writer, and big on Twitter. And they go, hey, you guys want to go see a little bit of the town? One of the military guys, escort, of course. We're like, yeah. So we went. She had to put on a full burqa.
Yeah. Oh boy.
He took us to this area. I don't know what city or what, wherever. Big area, middle of the day, but there was nobody there. And it was just like a big area with a bunch of, like, just flat area, like where they'd have like a festival or something like that, or a swap meet or something. He goes, this is Chopping Square. I go, what's that? He goes, this is where they have public beheadings. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
He goes, still? I go, still? He goes, oh, yeah, still Fridays.
Fridays.
I go, oh, my God.
Put on your Sunday best. Go down there.
Man, oh, man, dude. And it was like the weirdest thing, because when anybody like happened to be driving by or coming up, it almost felt weird to be standing next to a girl, like make sure you're not touching, or just when you realize, okay. And when I'm in the airport and I see these women in burqas. Now, again, if that's your culture, but women in burqas where you can't even see their eyes because their face is covered. They have a little thing with like a screen where they could see out, but you're like, that is a human being. What are we doing?
Yeah.
So,
but I think about it, you know, and they flip it on they would see a woman in a bikini or dancing on a pole, you know, in a strip club, and they would say the same thing. That's a human being. Why would you, how would you let her do that? You know, so it's a weird, You know, I mean, that is human life, you know, it's so.
I try to understand both sides, but I think if you had to ask the woman on the pole, are you enjoying this? Yeah. Ask that girl with no repercussions. Are you enjoying this? You know what I mean?
I mean,
that's kind of where I'm
at
with
that. You know, at least they get to drive here, you know what I mean? And vote and everything else.
Well, hey, I'm not crazy about them driving. I'm just kidding. Don't cancel me. Just don't cancel me.
No driving. No. Yeah, I'm against the driving and voting thing, right?
That's But that whole thing about the way – seeing the way women are treated in that culture.
It's
like,
a hard
right
thing.
There,
it's really
– ooh, yeah. It was like really like I'm not a fan.
So, you know, that was in the news a lot, you know, with the Riyadh Comedy Festival, and these guys all went and did that, and a lot of people did not. So, I mean, it's easy for us to say – what we would do, you know, if you're handed a bunch of money, but you know, the Saudis are making it. They're opening up. You know, they're getting involved in a lot of different things around the world. And
well, it's like the golf
the sports
tournament,
watching,
LIV golf,
They're buying up all these soccer teams in England and throughout Europe and all that stuff, and they're getting into that. It's trying to open it. I mean, the next World Cup is going to be there. I mean, in the 2030 something. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. I mean, they're doing it. So they're trying to put on a face to the world. But, I mean, if they had no oil, I have always said this, it's like they would be number one on our terrorism list. We wouldn't deal with them at all.
Saudi Arabia exists as anything is because money talks.
Absolutely.
Period. That's all. You know what I mean? And I just – with the golfers and even some of the comedians who went over there, I'm always – for me, it was more like – you guys are already multimillionaires.
Yeah.
Was it worth the hit? Was it worth the hit?
Yeah.
Was it worth the, you know, by the way, if they say yes, it is, then respect.
Yeah.
You're being honest with yourself. Who was it? Jessica Curson, who said that she regretted it. It was a mistake. And, you know,
I think
so
she gave the money away or something like that. But I mean, it's, I mean, you don't, you know, in the end, it's a personal choice, but. It's interesting. I mean, Saudi Arabia in the next, you know, century is going to be much more in our lives and around the world a present thing. They were a very closed society before this.
Unless we ever find a technology, which I'm sure is out there already, that makes oil almost meaningless and useless.
Or, if those like, wells go dry, we're not going to hear anything from them.
Well, say we put a little chip on the top of our car and we never need to use oil again. We are now solar powered cars.
Yeah.
You know,
or
what I mean?
You know, was it Back to the Future? You know, Mr. Fusion, you put the banana peel
in. Would that be great?
You put the banana peel in the garbage.
Some unleaded celery. Right. Let's go. You know what I mean? Exactly, bro.
So where do you want to go that you haven't been? I mean, are there places on your bucket list?
I have a few on the bucket list. One is just because I want to go for fun. Not even on a ship. I want to go. Is Ireland. I just want to go to Ireland, spend a week in Ireland, Scotland a little bit. I've had a lot of friends who have been there. My best friend, his daughter studied over abroad, so he went and spent 2 weeks there. He said, dude, the best. And just so fun. On a ship, but otherwise, maybe not, but I'd love to go to Antarctica.
Oh.
Just set foot. Because that's the last continent I need to check off. And then I've always wanted to go to Easter Island. Fascinated by Easter Island. And you know, some ships go there, too.
I was offered.
I have a buddy who's been there.
I was offered a gate for Azamara.
Easter Island?
For Azamara lines. You know, they're a smaller line, but, you know, kind of – it's all-inclusive. It's kind of a higher end. But they do a lot of South America and stuff. So I've gone to Argentina for them. And they wanted me to fly to Easter Island. And you talk about – you know, a flight, holy brother, you know, from LA, you're going like,
yeah, where do you go? Peru
you're probably going to, I think, eventually through either Buenos Aires or Santiago, Chile.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the ocean, man. I mean, it's as far as the way you could go. I want to say it was maybe a 20-hour day or something like that. But the money was the same as if I did a 3-night out of Long Beach for Princess.
Yeah. That's,
and so it's like, as much as I want to see it. You know, I don't know.
When you're younger, let's go.
Yeah.
You reach a point where like, that you have to start incorporating that travel, working smarter, not harder kind of a thing.
My back would have something to say about it, I think. But I really wanted to see it because how other, you know, Antarctica I've been to, and I did get to get off the ship.
Oh, that's cool.
On Seabourn. Yeah. But only, and I warn people about this, they want to buy an Antarctica cruise. And so you can't get off the ship if the if there's over, I think, either 450 or 500 passengers, I think. So
if it's
over 500, you just got to watch it from the, it's amazing, but you want to get off. And, you know, we took the little Zodiac boats to the land and then, you know, walk around with the penguins and everything like that. I mean, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, man.
It's just a lot more money.
check it off. Yeah, exactly. You know,
I'm surprised you, I'm surprised you haven't done like Ireland or something on a ship.
I am kind of surprised too. I've been to quite a few other places in Europe. I haven't done a ton of European ones, but I've done a handful and, been to, you know, England. I've been to Iceland. I've been to Greenland twice, but not on ships. I've been on two military bases.
Wow.
So I went to Northern, I've been to Northern Greenland.
Holy
yeah.
Talk cow. About
Thule, Greenland, right up by the Arctic Circle, man. And,
summer or winter? Yeah, was it light all day or dark all day?
It's winter all day there. How about that? I mean, you fly in, all it is white. They have parkas for you as soon as you get off because you don't come prepared for that.
Oh, sure.
The entire city up there, Thule, Thule, is just a base. There's no city. It's just a base. And it's weird because there is some, I think, what's it, Inuit?
Yeah.
Inuits? Yeah. There's still some of them up there who live. Like in their igloos and stuff, and we saw Arctic foxes, and it's like it was an interesting.
That's an amazing place experience.
I was glad I got to see it, and I've been there twice. We don't get to learn a whole lot about the bases, what their mission is, but they have these giant, you know, satellite dishes, you know, in the giant, you know, ball whatever things, and their mission basically is. They watch everything that goes through space from Russia area to North America.
God.
And obviously, most of it's debris. But he goes, we are 24/7 watching everything going from space from there to there. I go, yeah, that's basically our mission up here. I'm like,
what a terrible gig. Who did you piss off in basic training?
Wow.
They sent you to Greenland.
Hey, what's that?
Oh, my God. That's what they would threaten you.
Well, no, it's a muffler. It's a muffler.
That's
guys.
Like in Hogan's Heroes. They would threaten them with sending them to the Russian front. Exactly. We're going to send you to Greenland. That's you piss off a general. You're gonna get a posted
you're
in
going to Greenland,
northern
man.
Greenland. Oh, dude.
Yep, exactly.
That's got to be brutal. And no women. No women except the ones on the base. That's got to be brutal.
They've told me, because, you know, Bob Hope did 57 tours. And, you know, he was notorious for bringing, like, Marilyn Monroe.
Anita Ekberg. Anita Ekberg, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Just walk up on stage and wave to the guys. And, you know, back then the military was probably, maybe 1% female in the actual military back then, if that. And they go, it's just a taste of home. It's just for they can look at somebody rather than everybody just at their base, everything. And even the shows we do now – it's just somebody who's not the same people they see every day.
It's so monotonous.
So the shows are fun, but the hanging out with everybody afterwards, it's just the best. I mean, that is the best ever I'll ever have doing comedy.
What have you learned from troops when you sit down and talk to them? Like, first of all, I always tell people, it's like when you see the troops in person, I mean, if you don't, I don't perform for them that often, but even just seeing them in the airport, you forget just how young they are. I mean, they're really 18, 19 years old. They're just kids. What do they ask you
sometimes,
about? I mean, what do they miss and what experience, what do you learn from them?
Well, what I've learned from them is it's just how real it is over there being in the military and some of the stuff we don't know what goes on. And you know, we read about it, but when you're sitting there after a show with a 22-year-old and he's got a tattoo right here on his arm and I go, oh, what's that for, man? That's cool. He goes, oh, that's my brother that died in Afghanistan in, you know, 2017. I'm like, oh, this kid's like 22 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, wow, these guys, this is real stuff that goes on over here. And some of these, even though we're not at a major world war, like, you know, in the 40s or something, there is still wars going on. People die. We were at a base, forget where it was. I want to say Turkey again, some other, you know, remote base. And we arrived there. We had a show at 8 p.m. It's probably about noon when we get there, And we have to get clearance to get on bases. We sometimes, you know, the guys come out, they check all our paperwork, check passports. It takes a while to get on bases and stuff. And then we meet up with our rep, and he goes, "Hey, guys, just so you know, we need to maybe change the show." And they go, "We had a guy die on the flight line this week during a practice thing. It wasn't at war. They were doing a practice, you know, with choppers and stuff. And so whatever, 21-year-old kid died." And he goes, "We're doing – this is the night of our show. He had died earlier in the week. They're doing the full-on casket, and they're flying his body home that night." So they go, "You guys can either do your show around 5, because it was going to be at 8 p.m. on the flight line." He goes, "Or you can do it afterwards, like around 11, 11:30 at night." And we're like, "Whatever best for you." That's always the answer, of course. And they go, "Yeah, we think probably afterwards, 11, 11:30. We're like, "Whatever needed." And so we're like, "Man, this show is going to be rough, because they're all going to be coming back after seeing their, you know, with the flag and all that stuff." And we didn't go watch the flight line thing. You know, we weren't invited, obviously. And then also we're in this giant big hangar, and it's packed for the 11:30 show. And it was on fire. It was the funnest show maybe I ever did as far as the military go, because these guys needed a release. And then the general or colonel, we didn't always get to meet like the head of the base, but we generally just shake hands with the colonel or occasionally a general and, you know, "Hey, thanks for coming out here and taking care of our guys," you know, that kind of a thing. Didn't spend much time with us. But this guy was there for all his guys. He was the head of the base. And afterwards, he took us, we're talking like 2:30 in the morning. He was hanging out with us, walking us all around the base, showing us what this does, that does, you know, letting us sit in like a cockpit of a, you know, and just telling us what all these things, just enjoying showing what his base does, you know. And so it was like, it ended up, he's like, "We can't thank you enough." We're like, "Thank us." You know what I mean? Thank you. So it's always that kind of thing. Thank me? No, thank you. But anyhow, that was one of those real moments, like stuff that happens on base that we don't even know about. How often does that happen? You know, where somebody that you lose a 21-year-old, you know, just doing a routine exercise kind of a thing.
You work so much on the road. I mean, you have to travel so much for work. Do you even travel for fun anymore? Or do you, when you're done, you just like, "I'm going to sit at home and relax for a little bit"?
It's funny. Who did I run into at the airport, Chicago airport, like 3-4 weeks ago? I'm walking by, this guy taps me and he goes, it was Jay Larson. You know,
yeah,
Jay Larson?
Yeah.
So he was there with his girl, and I go, "Oh, where you guys going somewhere? You're heading back?" He goes, "We're heading back from New York." And I guess that's where she's from. And I go, "Oh, he goes, "Yeah, we just went back for a couple of days, you know, just to hang out." And I go, "Oh, you actually travel for enjoyment?" It made me think. I go, "Wow, I really probably should do that, because I should swear to God, I cannot tell you the last time I went somewhere where there wasn't some sort of a work involved." Actually, that's not completely true. I met a girl on a ship in February, and I just got done my set. I'm standing in the back of the piano bar area.
She's a podiatrist.
This girl comes up.
Exactly. Dentist, chiropractor. Who else did you meet?
All I'll say is she's younger than the dentist.
Oh, God. All right.
And really cute. She lives outside of Dallas, and we didn't really hang out much on the ship, but I go, "Hey, you know, maybe I'll come to Dallas, you know, and we'll get to hang out." So anyhow, I flew into Dallas. She drove up like 2 hours from where she lives. We hung out in Dallas for 3 days. But while I was there, TK, do you know TK?
Yeah,
he has
his
comedy club there. Yeah, well, he has a comedy club there, and it is – I didn't realize how – it's a gorgeous club. And my buddy Vince Royale happened to be headlining that weekend. And so we went there one night, and I did a guest spot. So there still was a little bit of work involved.
You just couldn't let it go, could you? You couldn't stay off stage.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, and you can do what I do. Like, I've tried to utilize these ships for travel, you know, like every Caribbean gig I do. I have family in Florida, and I'll say they're flying me back out of Miami. I'm doing this next week. I get back to Miami, I disembark there, and I say, "Hey, can you just fly me back 4 days later?" And I'll just go see my family for 4 days. And that's helped me. Like, I can't remember the last trip I paid to go to to Florida to see my family. So that's worked out great. But I've also done that in Australia. I took a ship from Tahiti to Sydney, and then it dropped me off. This was 2 years ago, like on the 23rd of December in Sydney. And then my girlfriend just flew out to meet me, and I just stayed for 2 weeks in Australia. So if they're going to pay the flight, I learned that early on that I said, wait a minute, can I just stay for a little bit? And they go, as long as you leave from the same airport, we don't care. If the price is the
absolutely.
Same.
Absolutely.
So then I would try to maximize the travel that way because, yeah, ship life is not really for me. But if we're going to someplace cool and I'm staying, it was like, you know, they want to send you home immediately from Amsterdam or something. It's like, hey, can I hang in Amsterdam?
Absolutely.
Can you send me back a week later? Because yeah. I can get a direct flight to anywhere in Europe from Amsterdam, and I'll just come back to Amsterdam and take the flight back. And that was, you know.
Yeah, or you could train anywhere too. You know, that's the coolest thing about once you're over there, you can get places really easily and cheaply. I haven't done that yet where I've asked because for whatever reason, no matter where I am, when I'm done with a contract, I cannot wait to
get it. I totally get that too.
But when I do have a couple coming up in 2026 where I am going to Europe and I'm going to look at my schedule and go, maybe let me just stay here a week and just, I'll go to Ireland.
Yes.
That time, you know, like I said, and then fly back from Rome or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
So that's definitely on the table.
If you could change one thing about flying, if you got the head of an airline, you were appointed CEO, what's the first thing you change?
Yes. We eliminate middle seats on every single aircraft ever. All they do is lead to everybody being miserable. That's
right.
All. Well, put chairs out on the wings. I don't care. No more middle seats. Okay.
Well, you must.
Everybody hates.
Have you? Are you platinum status on all of them now, or how many you got?
I'm basically gold status on three different.
All right.
Ones. So Delta, American, and United.
Three big ones.
And thankfully, JetBlue is matching right now. So I just flew JetBlue, and I got to use my gold status on American for JetBlue,
which great.
Is kind of nice because I don't have much. Because I don't really fly them that often. That often. But yeah, it is nice. And let's, you know, every now and then you get bumped up to first class. Here's another great story on one of the military tours. So this is years ago. Me and I was, three other comics, we were all flying from L.A. to Chicago, Chicago to Frankfurt,
oof, okay.
and then we start our tour from there. And you know, AFE, Armed Forces Center, they pay for the flights, so they're all coached. So we all, but you know, we can put our mileage programs in.
Lufthansa.
Me and the three other cons is, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Frankfurt. Whenever I hear Frankfurt, that's always Lufthansa.
Anytime I hear Germany, exactly. And we're all seated in our thing, getting ready to start our tour. And right before we leave, the flight attendant comes up and goes, "Mr. Cardinale?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, you've been upgraded."
Oh,
I'm like, "See you guys."
The greatest sentence ever.
Yeah, so I'm upgraded to first class from L.A. to Chicago. And, you know, not that long of a flight. But my other comedian, Dave Forseth, a good buddy of mine still, he was on the tour with me. You probably know Dave,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Used to work at the Lobster.
Right.
And he's like, "You son."
Yeah, right.
And anyhow, I'm like, "Hey, guys." And then we're on our flight Chicago to Frankfurt. And right at the last minute, Mr. Cardinal,
oh,
I got bumped
no, on the big
class.
Flight. On the big flight.
Dude, I was in a I just pushed the button. And I'm lying flat, like on a bed.
Oh,
it was the greatest thing.
That's a game changer. If you can, I envy those people who can fall asleep on planes immediately. I cannot. And it's just because of sitting up like that. I just don't fall asleep sitting up well like that. But man, just let me lie back. Just angle it. Give me enough angle, like a lazy boy angle even, and get my feet supported. I'll sleep all night,
yep.
That seat is everything. It's everything on the overnight.
And not to mention just the fact that I could put it in all their faces the entire.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah,
yeah.
Give me the. I mean, you must have flown on every type of aircraft, you know, especially with the military and stuff. Give me the craziest flight you ever had. The wildest.
Okay. Craziest. We were in a base. In Djibouti, in Sharm el Sheikh, Egypt.
Ooh.
This is really nice
great,
air, right on
scuba
right
diving.
On the beach.
Yeah, that's
right there. And
it's on my bucket list.
And we were flying there. It's a naval base, and it's in there. We're with it's a New Zealand and American base, and they have Seahawks, which are Blackhawks, but they're just the Navy version, but the same exact type of
helicopter.
But anyhow, we're going, and this was New Year's Eve. We're flying from the South Base to the North Base via helicopter. You know, you get in, you strap in, you're like, all right, you know, it was cool, really cool. And then we do a show New Year's Eve, and then we spend the night there on New Year's Eve on the North Base. And then the next morning, we're flying back. You know, we get all locked in, and they're like, oh, we're going doors open. I go, what does that mean? The sliding door open, you know, and we're dropping off like a pallet of, there's these little remote like outlooks where like they have three or four people just, you know, with the, and we're dropping off like food and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And necessities to these players. So I'm strapped in. I happen to be sitting right at the end and we're going doors open. So there's nothing.
How loud was that? Could you even hear yourself think? And
we had these things on.
Okay, earphones. Yeah.
Cans. Okay, there you go. Speaking of mass unit.
There you go.
And there was like a little plate right before my feet, and it was open, so I could see down to the rope holding this thing that we're taking, this giant pallet of stuff, because we're not going to land. We're just going to they're going to unhook it, and you know what I mean. And I'm like, oh my god, we're taking off, and I'm like, right here, looking out there, you know what I mean? And all this dust is kicking up. And here's the funniest thing, this New Zealand guy who's a military guy, for whatever reason, he's over there. As we're taking off, he's got a Coke, and he opens it. He goes
all over his face.
He tries to drink a Coke, and I'm like, what are you doing, you idiot?
We're open door here.
But that was one of the coolest as far as flying goes. And then we flew into – I've been to Guantanamo Bay twice.
Wow.
And we flew in like a little, I think, 8-seat plane. You know, it's all shaking and stuff. And the ceiling's real low. And I see, you know, there's Cuba out there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. They're like, no. What? You're not allowed to take a picture of the entire island. Oh. Really? Okay. Yeah. So we were not allowed to take a picture of the island Cuba. And so, you know, sometimes you just learn that stuff the hard way.
Did you get to see? Get to go into Cuba at all? Because I've been to Havana for three days in Havana I spent. But.
Yeah, I would love to see Havana. How was it, by the way? I've only been to Guantanamo Bay.
It's really, you know, so I snuck in through Cancun.
Like Mexico or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And you got to buy it. You know, it's all cash. Because, you know, your bank card won't work there. Your ATM card, your credit cards, nothing works. So you got to bring cash. Mm-hmm. They will take U.S. dollars. They're not supposed to, but they will. I just walked over to the Air Cuba desk in Cancun and caught the flight. And it's this old, Soviet era Russian plane, Aeroflot plane, which is, you know, just, you know, ashtrays still in the armrest kind of thing.
Is there any other way you want to fly into to Havana, Cuba? That's
but
how you want to do
it. The thing that hits you, it's really poor. The people are really poor, but they have an amazing spirit. You know, they do the best with what they got. And music is everywhere. And it is like time stopped in 1959. Like the cars, these old, Art Deco buildings with the original fixtures in these old hotels, because you know in the 50s
that's what I want to see.
It was,
man.
Vegas. I mean, it was crazy in the 50s. It was like casinos, hotels. It was South Beach and Vegas all rolled in one, and then it stopped. And you see this dusty old, you know, like hotels with no one in them, but they look super cool.
The remnants of a once great city,
like
kind
a movie
of
set.
Yeah.
It was really wild.
Yeah,
but it's fascinating. I would love to see more of the island. I mean, it's gotta be cool, but it's like, there's two, you know, there's tourists there. There's a lot of tourists. I mean, everybody can go except us. So there'd be like Canadians and Europeans and Mexicans, all, you know, everybody's visiting except us.
Yeah, that's why. And eventually, it will completely open up, and it'll get it all. Yeah. It'll all get monetized.
The whole policy.
And I want to see that before that happens. I want to see the. It's weird that we have a base that's on the island, and we're at odds with the island.
Nobody can go.
It's so bizarre to me geographically that. This exists.
Yeah, the policy, just like you see how ridiculous it all is. And then you just go, and well, who won here? The people are still poor. Castro's still in charge. It's still communist. And we're in like 50 years of this. You know, now we're going on 60 years of this. Nobody, you know, it's a lose-lose. You know, you might as well open it up and let Hilton and Marriott and everybody else come in here. Maybe somebody will get some jobs. I don't know. It's all corrupt. But
I was just going to say, you travel the world, you realize most of the world's corrupt.
Well, the Caribbean has just been, I think the cruise has really cured me of the Caribbean. I'm not a fan anymore. I mean,
yeah, I know. But again, dude, I've been, you know, like you said, you go to Djibouti, Africa, which Djibouti, Africa, I 20 minutes from Somalia on the border.
That's rough.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those, they took us downtown. The first time we were there, and he goes, whatever you do, don't, like, if you want to give a kid a dollar, do not, or they will descend on you. Because you're driving by, you see it's like the commercials where you see the kid just sitting there, hello, and there's flies, you know what I mean? And you realize, wow, how lucky we are to live here.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You appreciate everything.
Once you travel a little bit.
You appreciate everything.
Yeah. You start complaining about this.
Yeah.
Go. You know what I mean? Go travel.
Yeah, I've been to India. India was like that too. It was just like, have you been? It's
funny. One of the places I have not been.
It's hard, man. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But
my dad went. He was like, you know, it's just so many people. Yeah. So many people.
Yeah. And it's too many damn people. You don't want to, when you see a billion people in one place, you're like, I don't know if I want to live this way.
You
don't want to live that way. That's why I'm going to my first China trip next year. I'm going to catch a ship in Shanghai. I'm going to be Shanghai'd.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to be a slow boat to China. That's what I'm taking from China.
The Great Wall, bucket list.
Yeah, me too.
I've been to Japan a couple times. Been to Singapore. Been to Guam. Not that Guam's like right there, but still.
I've been to Taiwan and Hong Kong, I've been to China light, but I haven't been to the mainland China. So I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely. That's a pretty cool, which line is that?
That might be Azamara again or Princess. One of those.
Okay.
I forget, but, it's taking me there to Taipei. So we'll make a couple stops in southern, Japan. I think Okinawa. And then over to Taipei. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
I've heard my very first military tour, Okinawa, was one of our places we were supposed to go perform, but because of the storms, we couldn't go. Ugh. So I've never been to Okinawa, and that's another place I've always wanted to go.
Yeah. Japan, so I love.
I've heard. Yeah. Oh, Japan.
The best.
Tokyo, it's funny. We were on a base, and we had a day off the next day, and we're going into Tokyo. And so I asked the guys in the base, okay, I know it's a big city, guys, but is there anything we need to see? I asked several people, maybe three or four different people said, oh, yeah, dude, there's this little cafe like club with a Beatles cover band. He goes, and they are phenomenal. You have got to go see. That's
every city has a several Beatles different cover people. Band. Every dude, city in the world has a Beatles cover band.
Every NCL ship has a Beatles cover band.
So what was unique about these guys?
So I don't know. I didn't because I go, all right, because I'm telling you, several people said it is the hottest like ticket in town kind of a thing. So we went and it was sold out. We could not get in. And so we never got to see them. So I don't know. But of all the things for people to tell me to go see in Tokyo, I still remember that. Like several different people said, no, dude, this is where you want to go. Now, keep in mind, I'm a Beatles scholar, so I'm all into watching anything Beatles.
Sure, I would watch it. You know, go ahead.
And just out of curiosity, what makes this so great? I'm sure that they were just really perfect. I mean, they probably sounded and had the whole thing down. But several people told me we were really disappointed that we couldn't go and never saw.
Did you go to a baseball game there? I've been to a couple. Those are great.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really? No, I didn't. We didn't have enough time.
Okay. Stay long. Next time.
Yeah. Well, we're always on the military orders too.
Oh,
so
yeah, sure.
We got to go and we got to come back, and you know, we can kind of thing like that. But I would love to go. Tokyo is a fascinating city because it's so big, it's so powerful, and for the most part, it's just so damn clean
and
too.
Safe, and it runs and it works. City like 20
yeah,
million
great
people,
metro
and it still
system.
Works.
Yep, yep. They did a great job with, very impressive with the just the engineering of that entire city.
Real quick, with the craziest things you've eaten or drank overseas.
I will say this. I am not a crazy food person, and I'm not a crazy drink person too. I'm just a beer person. But when we were in – now, I didn't drink it.
Okay.
When we were in Japan for the first time,
here we go.
We went to this liquor store, and one of the guys showed us this bottle, really cool-looking bottle. I don't know what it was, but he goes, yeah, that's what you want. I go, why? He goes, I didn't even know this was a thing. He goes, yeah, they put a little snake venom in there. It's a hallucinogenic. And I'm like, no thanks, bro. How do you get to the point where you're going, let's just try a little bit
of this? I've
seen
it with the snake.
Hold your fangs.
With the snake in it? Because sometimes the snake head will be in it.
No.
Okay.
No, thank God, no. You know what I mean?
I've seen that, yeah.
So I just could not believe that somebody came up with a, hey, wait a second, maybe snake venom.
Yeah.
How do you even arrive at that? And then foodie, I'm trying to think. I don't think it wasn't me. My buddy Chris Weivel, we were at a base in some little island off of Spain. It was weird because they took us down to this crater that used to be a volcano, like way down below, like with some really interesting things. But then they had like a big fiesta kind of party thing. We just happened to be there when they were having it. So they're making all this food. And my buddy happened to be sitting right at the front of the table. Long tables. We're all in. So they go, hey, you try. And he's like, he's worked in restaurants a whole lot. He's a good cook. He is a foodie. And he's eating. And he's like, so, okay. What is this? I believe it was like cow scrotum. He's like,
scrotum.
And he was the only one who had any of it. We're like, okay. But like something, one of those weird delicatessen things over there. And we still laugh about it to this
cow
day.
Cow scrotum.
Hilarious.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Of all the things you could eat, Spain has such great food, and you're eating cow scrotum.
It's funny because I was doing a thing about the running with the bulls. I go, how do you guys get there? What's that? You guys want to play soccer? The ball's flat. Really? Hey, wait. There's a stampede. Yeah. Come on,
open
guys.
The gate.
You know,
open the gate.
Exactly. How do you guys start that?
So real quick. So let's get your plugs in. Where can people follow you? Give us your Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube and all that other stuff.
Yeah. All social media is Johnny Cardinale, is exactly as it's spelled right there. I try to stay on TikTok and Instagram the most.
Mm-hmm.
So either one of those is the best. I do have a couple good land gigs coming up. Well, I have my Sand Trap show, which I will actually be at on December 20th in Beaumont, California. A great lineup there. And then I will be doing the Belly Up in San Diego, Solana Beach, on December 29th. Patton Oswalt.
Wow.
Trying to think of who. Matt Fulcheron. Trying to think of who else is on there, but really great lineup. So Ryan Sickler. So I'm on that on December 29th, 8 p.m. And it's a really nice, like, a cool, like, venue. They have a lot of music.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I never heard of that. I've never heard of that one.
My dad lives in Carlsbad. He lives like 15 minutes away. And I did it like 2 months ago. And they go, hey, I'm doing the Belly Up. Do you know it? He goes, no, I just saw Don McLean there last week.
God.
So they have like a lot of music, but it's a great venue.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of songs I never need to hear again, whenever somebody puts up, you know, long, long time ago, and I'm like, okay, what asshole picked this on the jukebox? Oh, my God. All 8 hours of American Pie.
Oh, dude, how about karaoke?
Oh, the worst.
You know what I mean?
It kills the room.
Like, hey, Jude. Come on, guys. Don't. And I, at one point, for most of my life, that was my favorite song of all time, Hey Jude. But karaoke,
yeah.
I talked to her. I have a friend who owns like a karaoke business. She's been hosting for years. I go, what are your, like, I never, you don't. You roll your eyes as soon as somebody puts it in. It was Hey Jude. It was Piano Man. It was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, God.
I believe it was Turn Around.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that one is.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That one. Yeah, there was a couple. Only it's not because like some of the other songs you've heard a million times, like even Brown Eyed Girl. At least it's two minutes and 45 seconds, not 9 minutes.
Oh my God, the worst, the worst.
Exactly.
Man. So finally, what do you think? All you've seen and all the places you've gone, how has it changed you as a person and how you look at life and people and everything else? What has it all taught you?
Well, very appreciative to honestly to have been born in America. Just really, I mean, there's some wonderful places I've been otherwise, as far as like Vienna. I cannot wait to go back to Vienna again. And it just also made me just really realize how we are still the new world, the North America. I've been inside the Great Pyramid in Giza, you know what I mean? Like, and you're like feeling these rocks. This is 2,500 years old. Even when you go to a church and let's say England, and this was built when?
900 AD.
900? Yeah. What? And then, you know, and then I'm in Boston going, this is Paul Revere's house from 1683.
That's the oldest we got.
And that's like, that's literally, it might be the oldest building I've ever seen on planet Earth, you know? I mean, I mean, in the United States, like literally the oldest. And I go, wow, our history is so
new.
Is so new compared to way to over there. And that constantly blows me away. And I guess the other thing is I used to get so wowed by everything traveling. And I hate to say it, but sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I don't care. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be that way. That's kind of why I need to take a trip, not for work,
you.
To go reappreciate just being somewhere cool. You know what I mean? And I think everybody should travel. It's fascinating to me when I meet people working on ships. You meet people from all over the world, not only passengers, but people who work on the ships, obviously. And when I meet somebody like a sound guy and I go, hey, where are you from? He goes, Romania. I'm like, oh, I've been twice. And I can't believe I'm the one saying this, you know? And then we start talking about their part there, because most of these people have not traveled. They haven't seen, you know, the United States. And I tell them, where do you live? LA, you're a kid, you know? And I guess that's the other thing I learned, how even to this day, LA, Hollywood, still is kind of like this magical place for a
people
lot of
know
people.
The word Hollywood around the world. That's one of those words that they know.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's still a destination. It's funny. One time I talked to these girls from Singapore in LA right here. They were just in visit. I don't even know where I met them. It might have even been like Trader Joe's or something. It wasn't like a dating thing. And we just got to talking in line. And what are you guys doing in LA? We just came to visit. I go, oh, what are some of the things you wanted to see when you got to LA? Not even kidding. The first thing they said, In-N-Out Burger.
I was going to say, was it In-N-Out? Not even Disneyland. It was In-N-Out.
No, it was In-N-Out Burger first. I go, really? I go, it's that famous over there? And this is from Singapore. I'm like, oh my God. That cracked me
That's
up.
That's funny.
Because personally, I'll say it on camera. I think In-N-Out Burger is completely overrated.
I'm with you. It's a good burger, but let's not get crazy. And I'm going to throw Chick-fil-A under that same bus. I don't get it.
They're okay.
They're fine. Yeah. You know what? It's all just fine. It's not.
Exactly.
And I think people are trying to like make it into something they're not. But it's also people that grew up around it. And you want your childhood, you know, memories. And it's like, oh. Like when Chick-fil-A came out to L.A., everybody who grew up in the South freaked out. They're like, oh, finally. Then you have it. And it's a chicken sandwich with a pickle. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not crazy.
But those drive-through lines are similar. There's to this day the drive-through lines at both of those places are just like, my God, it's just okay, whatever. I'm glad I'm not in that cult, either one of those cults. But
Well, next time we go to Singapore, we got to think of something so generic. You know, we heard your McDonald's was great here, and then they're like, what? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the Singapore fast food equivalent? We got to find that out.
Uh-huh. Singaporean.
Oh, the Singapore
I just spent
food.
5 days there.
Oh, it's so great
in
there.
April.
The food there is amazing.
Singapore is a beautiful city. It's considered – I just saw a thing where it's considered the second safest major city in the world.
It's expensive.
Yeah, and I –
Expensive, but
– oh, man. Yeah.
But the food, all I did was eat. There's not much else to do, honestly. I thought it was kind of boring, but it's I just went from like hawker station, you know, these outdoor, you know, eating. They're basically, you know, food courts. But the, you, but yep. they're right in the hub of Asia. So you got the best of like China, Thailand, Malaysia, you know, Korean food. I mean, everything's all there. So it's so good.
And it, and even these little walk-up places, they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I was just there for like a five days in April. And we, that's all we did was we ate, we hung out, we stayed at the airport hotel, which it, CNN has ranked at the number one airport hotel in the world for like the last 5 years. It's got a giant mall attached, which like is shaped like a cone,
yeah.
like upside down cone. And it's got the largest indoor waterfall
oh,
in the entire world.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You've seen it with the light show mm-hmm. and everything. It's like, what the? Yeah. Singapore's a very impressive place.
It is. It's beautiful. 5 days is a long time. But
yeah, we were supposed to go from there to Diego Garcia. Speaking of India, Diego Garcia is this tiny island about 1,000 miles south of India, right in the middle of the ocean. And it's a military base only. You have to have paperwork to go on it, or you have to be military. And I've been there once years ago. We were supposed to go in April, but they had incoming soldiers, and they go, you guys can't. So they switched it up like last minute, so we just stayed in Singapore. We were there for 5 days. We did one show before we flew on to Guam. So, and they put us up in that super nice hotel.
See, that's the times when it works out. It's nice.
Hey, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
Johnny Cardinal, thank you so much for doing this, and we'll look for you on the road. Are you going to be other? You got that gig over the holidays, but otherwise, it's going to be mostly at sea, huh?
Ships.
All right, and they can go to your website and see where you're at and everything else.
Yeah, JohnnyCardinale.com has all my social media links too there.
Perfect.
So that's a good place.
Johnny Cardinale, everybody. Thanks, man.
Cheers. Thank you, brother.
If you love travel, you'll love Winging It Travel Podcast. Every Monday, I share stories from 75 countries, from backpacking tips, epic adventures, and plenty of travel inspiration. Alongside that, I host guest interviews every 2 weeks. Check it out at voicegate.com.
Travel isn't just about where you go, it's how you do it. Curious Tourism explores the impact of travel with Aaron Hines and Katie Lahr. Check it out at voicegate.com.